In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear seminarians, dear faithful, when God himself came into this world, when he took upon himself our human nature, he decided that there would be two main symbols that would represent his life. These two symbols were the crib and the cross. Both of them were made of wood. On both of them, our Lord laid down, our Lady laid our Lord down in the manger, and the Roman soldiers laid our Lord down on the cross. On both of them, our Lord was bound and in a state of helplessness. Our Lady wrapped our Lord in the swaddling clothes, these clothes that so confine a child that he cannot move. And the Roman soldiers, of course, affixed our Lord to the cross with the nails such that he could not move on the cross. On both of them, our Lord was in a state of poverty. Our Lord was born in a cave that belonged to nobody, surrounded by these animals, in a state away from his home, in a state of extreme poverty. And so also he died on the cross, stripped of all his possessions, which had been taken away by the Roman soldiers. He died naked, completely despoiled of all his earthly possessions. On both of them as well, our Lord was in a state of humiliation. When he was born, he was not in a royal palace, even though he is God of all creation, but he was in this cave, aside from the world, again, surrounded by simply animals in a very humble state. Then when he died the death of a criminal. He was executed in the full view of the whole of the Israelite people. The creche and the cross are the two defining moments of our Lord's life. They are the two symbols that he chose to represent his life. And we know that our Lord truly did choose the life that he would live. For us, because we are so limited in the scope of our power, there are many things that happen to us in this life that we cannot anticipate or over which we have no control. But this was not the case with our Lord. Because he was God, he was able to design from all eternity exactly what type of life he would live, exactly what would happen in his life. And it's maybe surprising to us that he chose precisely the life that is recounted for us in the Gospels. And because we know that his life, this life that he chose for himself, was the most perfect, it is also a great model for our life. This is why the Catholic life has always been difficult. Our Lord sets a very high standard for us with the manner of life in which he lived. It's very, very hard for us, my dear faithful, to live the life of Christ. This is what we are called to do, but it's difficult for us to embrace poverty, to embrace humiliation, to embrace sufferings. Yet, this is the example that our Lord gives to us. This is why the world has always been scandalized in our Lord. They look at his life. They say, this man claims to be God. He claims to teach us the way of salvation, the true way to live our life. But I don't agree that this is the right way to live life. It's too difficult. It's too demanding. And so they look for another life, another type of life, another ideal to propose for themselves and to propose for everybody. It's what we might call the spirit of the world, the gospel of the world, the manner of life that is proposed to us and always will be proposed to us to the end of time by worldlings. It centers around a certain virtue that does not find itself in the life of our Lord, what we might call the virtue of mediocrity, the pursuit of comfort, the avoidance of suffering, the avoidance of all difficulty, preferring tolerance to the good, fearing excellence, mistrusting excellence because it's uncomfortable. Carol Hauslander, in her wonderful book, The Reed of God, puts it very well when she speaks of this alternative gospel that the world proposes to us as an ideal for our life. She says, the world has set up a new set of beatitudes. They run something like this. Blessed are the comfortably well off, the cheerful, the highly respected. Blessed are the flattered. Blessed are those who are bored for a good salary on 6 days in the week and can overeat on the seventh. Blessed are those who are always willing to compromise. Blessed are they when all men respect their rights as citizens and forget that they are men. For their reward will not be very great, but they will never be unduly disturbed, and they will never disturb the complacency of others. This is the gospel of mediocrity that is so much a part, unfortunately, of our modern church and so much a part of our modern world. This is the legacy that has been handed down to us by the Protestant spirit that has taken over our Western world. This Protestant spirit that puts the life of our Lord at a distance and says, he lived his life, he redeemed us, he did everything. It's not our job to live like he lives. It's our job simply to believe that he has redeemed us and done everything for us. That is our role. It's not a question of living that same life. This is what the triumph of what we might call the bourgeois mentality, the triumph of the middle class. The middle class that is precisely always wanting to go for the middle level, that is wanting to make everything on the same level, always striving for that comfort, pleasure, no strife, not wanting to be excellent. It is this false gospel, my dear faithful, that leads to that mentality that is so common today that is critical of God and says, how dare God allow evil? How dare God allow suffering in this life? It says, how can there be a God in heaven when there's so much evil in the world? It's this mentality that does not allow there to be a God who wants to use suffering, to allow suffering precisely to bring good out of it. This is what we believe the reason why God allows evil in our lives, allows us to suffer in this life, is precisely that he gives to us graces that enable us to use this suffering for the good and to be much better people than we would be otherwise than if we had no suffering whatsoever. It is this false gospel that is scandalized with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how our Lord said a few times in his life, blessed are those who are not scandalized in me. This gospel kind of joins in with St. Peter when our Lord was predicting his passion, many times when he predicted that he would be mocked, scourged, and put to death by the Gentiles. St. Peter took him aside and said, no, no, Lord, not for you. This is not for you. And of course, our Lord responded by saying, get behind me, Satan. We have these two perspectives on life, the perspective of Christ and the perspective of the world. And for us as Catholics, the crib of Christ comes around each year again at Christmas time to remind us of the way of life that he chose. For each of us, the cross continues to stand while the world turns. On today's feast of this octave of Christmas, we commemorate the first shedding of our Lord's blood at his circumcision. And we all know what's going to happen soon after. The Holy Family is going to be thrown into some terrible difficulties, some incredible trials. They're going to be hunted by a bloodthirsty tyrant who wants to destroy the King of Kings. They're going to have to flee in the night to a foreign country. They're going to have to live in this country as exiles for a number of years during our Lord's early childhood so as to protect the King of Kings from this earthly king. All these things are part of the perfect life that our Lord lived. And as we begin this new year of our Lord, 2026, it's really important for us to remember the Catholic ideal, remember the ideal that our Lord sets for us, remember that we are created for God and that our Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And he proposes to us to imitate him, to be other Christ. He proposes to us to live the gospel which calls us to take up our cross daily, not the gospel of mediocrity. But my dear faithful, I have good news for you. And it is this, that if you are leading an authentically traditional Catholic life, you are living a life of excellence. If you are striving to live as devout traditional Catholics, your life is not by any means mediocre. Rather, it is a very excellent life. And of course, by this, I mean, first of all, that you're always striving to live in the grace of God. You're striving to do whatever is necessary to maintain the state of grace in your soul. On the one hand, the shunning of sin, this continual combat that we have against the enemies of our soul, that we want Christ to reign in our soul always. And so we refuse sin. We refuse the sin of drunkenness, of viewing pornography, the idolatry of the world, self-abuse, fornication, selfishness, worldliness. We continually strive to please our Lord rather than follow the path that the world proposes to us. But it also means, on the positive side, going to Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation like today, going to confession regularly, fighting against your predominant fault, praying your rosary each day, nourishing your spiritual life, trying to pray each day, to pray well, to really be fervent when you pray, to really connect with God when you pray. It means doing your duties as fathers and mothers, or following your duty of state, bearing willingly all the sacrifices of your state of life, having the children that God gives to you, having a good attitude in the midst of suffering, being willing to bear suffering, being willing to sacrifice yourself for your state in life. In short, it means loving God above all things. This is the excellent life. This is the most perfect life. Blessed are you if you live this life. This is truly an extraordinary life. It is living the life of Christ. It is being like Christ. And at the beginning of the year, it's always good for us to take stock and to ask ourselves, to what degree are we living this life? To what degree are we not living this life? What could I do better? What can I do in 2026 where I can anticipate that I will become holier? I will reach the end of the year and be able to say that I have resembled Christ more in 2026 than I did in 2025. What is it that I can do? What particular things can I do? Or better, one specific thing can I do? Now is the time to make a good resolution, such as you anticipate. Yes, I will be holier, more Catholic in 2026 than I was in 2025 if I keep this resolution. So on this first day of this new year that God is giving to us, let us form once more in our minds a clear idea of what our life is about, what we are called to by our Lord Jesus Christ It's not a life of comfort. It's not a life without difficulty or without suffering. The best life, the most successful life, the life we must want to live is the life of Christ, the life that started in the poverty and humiliation of the crib and ended in the poverty and humiliation of the cross. It is the life as well of Our Lady, whose life was defined by that word, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," which she committed herself to following perfectly God's plan for the rest of her life. So we journey on this life with our Lord and our Lady, and this is how we achieve true greatness. You know that Our Lady, she placed our Lord in the manger, partly as a symbol that he was to become our food. The manger is a feeding trough for animals. And he was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread. And it's particularly this bread, this flesh of our Lord, this body, blood, soul, and divinity of God that sustains us in this life, that gives us the strength to resemble Christ, that transforms us into Christ over time. We become Christ more and more to the degree that our communions are fervent, that we really seek to be nourished by the Blessed Sacrament. So it's our bread on the way to heaven. We are making this journey towards heaven. We are carrying our cross with our Lord. We're living this traditional Catholic life, not the false virtue of mediocrity, but a life of true virtue. And the Holy Eucharist sustains us. So, my dear faithful, continue on your way in this new year of 2026. Persevere. Keep going in this blessed life of being a devout Catholic. Live as fully as you can your traditional Catholic life so you may imitate our Lord, you may resemble Christ, and then after this short life is over, join him forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.